FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that corner stop?
Ratchet, will you take the corner stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 263. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jack Brunner.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Rick Alvarez was going to join us, but Skype is being a little punk today and wouldn't let me on to begin with. I had to reboot at least a couple times. And I think Jack has had some issues with it, and now Rick can't even get on. So it's being a hasslesome thing today. And as if you're watching the video, as you can see in the background, I am, in a new location. I'm in the middle of moving in with my girlfriend. My half of my collection is packed up behind me here in a couple boxes. And the rest of it is still in the glass cases at my old apartment. But as such, I am recording this today in the new place where my computer is. And hopefully within the next couple, 3 weeks, everything will start to get back to normal. And, you know, I have to the end of October to get out of my apartment, but I'd like to get all the stuff out first so I can clean it and do whatever I need to. But the move is going well so far, I've painted this room. I painted another bedroom in here, and it's very trying, but at the same time very exciting. And I'm really happy to do that. Hope everyone enjoyed the interview with Benson Yee last week. Had a really great time talking to Benson, and if you haven't checked it out, please go back and look at it after this episode or whenever is convenient to you. The subject of that episode was his experiences at HasCon 2017 from the VIP attendee perspective. And some really great insight from Mr. Benson Yee, and I'm really happy to have got a chance to interview him here. Hold on, let me fix him. There we go. Today's episode is we're going to be looking at some stuff from that was revealed at TFCon USA in Washington D.C. last weekend. A lot of cast members from TFYLP. Was there. I know Headmaster Don, Megamus, Daniel, a lot of great people from TFYLP was there, and hope everyone had a chance to stop by and check out Megamus's booth, as well as our sponsor, Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. You save even more with orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping, and get discounted shipping for international orders of $150 or more. CapturePrey.com, great prices, great service, and I messed that up. Yeah. my mouth is getting cottony. Hold on. Like I said, I'm really tired. Also, as I mentioned, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can also find him on Facebook. Just do a little search for either Megamus or Mega Toy Fan. You'll find him. And also, if you check out RippedApparel.com, you can save 10% on your order if you use the promo code TFYLPPOD at RippedApparel.com. So, without further ado, we're going to we're kind of pressed for time right now. You know, I have to go to work very shortly, and so does Jack. So we're gonna kind of blow through these pictures. But if you want to go and check them out, we're looking at the pictures from TFW 2005. They are there's a gallery of the third party panel slides that was revealed at TFCon in DC. We're going to go through them really quickly. I'm going to screen share them here for the viewers, and we're going to talk about our thoughts on the reveals and what we think of them. Also, I want to point out, if you're not aware of it, BBTS just recently put up a pre-order for Godfire Convoy, the Encore reissue of Godfire Convoy. Now, it is at a godly price. It's like $280. And you got to understand, these are two older leader class toys. But, I mean, it's a fantastic toy.
Yep.
But the thing is that I was under the impression that the molds were not viable anymore. I was actually speaking with Rick before we went on air about it, and he said that as far as he knew, the tools were not usable anymore. They were not viable. So it's most likely that this is a new tool, which would explain the exceedingly high price. Hmm. And it also begs the question, is it going to be worth it? You know, not everybody's into the RID 1.0 aesthetic, even though I'm a big fan of it. I'm assuming you are. I mean,
yeah, it was pretty much one of the main seeds that got me into Transformers, because that's when I came about. And I want to say it was one of the Autobot brothers, so I think it was like Xbron or Prowl that pretty much got me into RID while I was in like the last stretch of it. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a great toy, in my opinion. You know, you combine the Optimus Prime with the Ultra Magnus and form Omega Prime. I forget. Well, I guess in Japan he was called Super Godfire Convoy mm-hmm. in that mode. So I'm really excited and really interested to see. This get released. It's hard. It makes me feel really old, seeing as how that was 17 years ago that toy was first out, which, you know, would make it a classic reissue now. Cause back in the days when that was out was when we were starting to get the first Takara reissues of Generation 1 toys. And it was some 17, 18 years after G1 was over. So it makes sense now. But it makes me feel really, really old again that I've seen this day come now. Let's get on to the third party reveals. Jack, if you want to go ahead and pull up that link so you can follow along.
Yep, I'm right on it.
I'm screen sharing here. Again, this is from TFW 2005. I want to give a shout out to whoever is providing these pictures for TFW. It's some great stuff. These are from the third party panel reveal, and the very first thing that we see here is from our very own Brycey. A lot of his photography is in these pictures of the Ocular Echo unofficial photographic archive of Generation 1 toys, Volume 1 and 2, which I got a notification either last night or today that their Kickstarter is now 100% funded. I've actually contributed to it, it's really awesome to see that is now 100% funded and these books will get made. That's really exciting, and I'm really happy for Brycey. Some great stuff that's in these. I think Volume 1 is going to be the U.S. collection, 84 through 1990, every Transformer, including Mailways, Decoys, and Mini Spies. Volume 2 will be the Japanese and Euro exclusives. That includes Headmasters, Victory, and Master Force. Hold on a second. Just got a message.
I can't wait to get these. These are so amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to fund it, but unfortunately I couldn't due to my financial situation. But I hope to get these books. They are pretty flipping amazing.
Well, right now with me in the middle of a move, I couldn't do a whole lot, but I at least did $5. So
yeah.
I know a little bit of my money went to contributing to this, even though it wasn't much, but it was something. Some great stuff from Ocular Echo. It ended, actually, the Kickstarter is not over until October 14th. So it still has a week or two to go. And now they're already 100% funded, so it's kind of, let's see where they can go from here. Next up is Moss Toys. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Moss Toys is a new third-party company. And we've seen the Skiff from TFCon Canada, which is basically the Cybertronian Bumblebee. And they have the Gold, which is basically Goldbug in the Cybertronian mode. Volk and Rune. Rune is a glyph homage, and Volk, I'm assuming, is like Bug Bite.
I think it was, yeah.
Next is CTO 004 Strong, which is a Cybertronian Brawn. I'm not real crazy about the head sculpt on that. I don't think they nailed that too much.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Vehicle mode is kind of weird.
Okay, now here's... They've got an alternate head, too. Kind of give it the toy-esque
head. Oh, yeah, there you go. Nice.
The vehicle mode, I can understand if it's a Cybertronian mode. Now that one's interesting. I guess it has like some iron fists you can put on it. I guess I don't know.
It looks like the way it is, it's like supposed to be like some sort of hologram or whatever. So yeah. Kind of like the Green Lantern.
Maybe the blue translucent blue plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is interesting. Starscream, the Tetrajet Starscream. I might be interested in these.
I might have to get the Thundercracker, obviously, because I'm a Thundercracker nut, and a Tetrajet would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, these look
hopefully
good.
Hopefully they're an improvement over the Impossible Toys versions of these, which were kind of crappy. It's got a considerable amount of back kibble, it looks like, but
yeah.
Where else are you going to put the parts, you know? Pretty much. There's a teaser of Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker in those colors. So really, really excited about those. Next up is 03 Stack, which is looks like a pipes, I guess. Yep. These are, it looks like drawings. Well, you got pipes. I don't know. Stack is, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, they have like two different configurations for him, it looks like. Moving on, we got, there's Stack and Bumblebee is again. And their vehicle forms. Prototypes of Stack. The gray resin prototypes. Kind of interesting. He has almost that the War for Cybertron Prime or Fall of Cybertron Prime look to him.
I can kind of see that, yeah.
I mean, it's not a straight up copy, but I mean, he's yeah. got kind of that motif to him. Next is G2TOO. Don't say that too loud because Plasticon might drop by. But Speed and ISO looks like Rapido and Scram are getting a third party treatment. That's kind of neat. And then big BG National and Doug, which we got Windbreaker and Turbofire. I might have to get these because I'm a big fan of the accelerators. Kind of nice. Okay, here's a singular shot of the Rapido. Looks like they got. Oh, and here's a gray resin proto. Looks like they've got some kibble, but and this looks like the I'm guessing the Scram. Maybe the Rapido. No, that's the Rapido. Looks like they're roughly deluxe size. Oh, okay. Next up, Mayhem Mechanics. Our friend Sid Beckett, he was on the podcast several episodes ago to talk about the Mayhem Mechanics, the Unrustable Bastards, or now, as they call them, the Unrustables, I guess, to help facilitate the sales of these. Some places may not like the name Bastards. I'm assuming that's why. Looks like we got some prototypes here, and they are pretty badass, I gotta say. Scrolling on through here. Somebody did some good Photoshop work. All right, next up is Yamazuki. I guess, this is the first of the Unrustable Bastards. The Unrustables. It looks like he's got like an oversuit where he fits inside of the bike. Now, that's interesting. That is really nice. He's kind of like got like a yellow mech suit that turns into the bike, and then the rider becomes like the person that goes on the inside of the mech suit.
The way it kind of looks to me, it's like it's got the yellow suit, then it's got the black stripes going down, and it's got the sword. It kind of reminds me of Kill Bill.
Yeah.
From, I think, 2007.
Maybe that's where they derive the name Yamazuki. Is it? Doesn't that have a Kill Bill?
I think it did. I didn't realize that till now. Yeah, that's kind of nice.
And it looks like, of course, they can ride each other, kind of the ilk of the Junkions, Retgar and the Junkions. The fans will get to name this gang. That's interesting. Crimson Kings, more of the same. We got red, the Scorpio Rifts with a blue color to them. The Sewer Barons, green colored, green and yellow. And very turtle-esque, if you notice the chest design on that, yeah.
I was kind of thinking of that.
Switchblade Jesters, purple motif.
Kind of looks like the Joker with the lady face looks.
And then you got the Trash Torkers, kind of looks like a Boba Fett type design on the face.
Mm-hmm.
The X-Block Phantoms. Kind of like a, they're black. It's black and got, like a Punisher-esque, skull on the face. Next up is Mech Planet. And these are the, hot G1 style soldiers, the small, legend size, not world smallest, but they're pretty close to it. I guess the legend size,
pretty much meant to go with, like, the Thrilling 30 Legends, Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, pretty much.
And probably would look well with your city bots, like Trypticon, Fort Max, and such. We're looking at the Soundwave here. Coming up, we got soundtrack, which they call soundtrack. Then you got soundboard, which is sound blaster. Comes with a little mini rat bat. And then after that is iron tin, which is iron hide. An ambulance, which is ratchet. Neat little guys here. The packaging almost resembles the Takara book style reissues.
Yep.
Next up is the HS09 Bumblebee, which I actually think looks pretty good. Yes, his torso is a bit long.
Yeah.
But he still looks pretty good considering his size.
I think he was only going for $20 on BBTS, I believe. So that's pretty
well, these guys are pretty small too. Yeah. You gotta keep that in mind. The Ironhide and the Bumblebee together. And we got.
I got an Optimus
coming.
Full on trailer and how it opens up with all the cool little features that, like the G1 did.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Then comes my favorite part.
Planet X. We're looking at some of the offerings from Planet X. We got Somnus, the translucent clear version. I guess the Ghost Somnus. Which is the. Fall of Cybertron, Starscream, and these are the ghost colors. Really, really awesome, translucent.
Got a lot of pictures on them too.
Yeah, you can't get enough of the translucent.
And they got a Sunstorm too. That looked kind of nice.
Okay, let me get to it here. I'm still scrolling. These look pretty cool though.
Yeah, I just pretty much clicked a lot ads because there was a lot of pictures of Starscream.
Yeah, a lot of pictures of Starscream. Okay, keep going here. Keep going. Ah, there we go. Synectus, which is Sunstorm. That does look pretty good. It's the Fall of Cybertron mold again, but in Sunstorm colors.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do Acid Storm. And
oh, I wouldn't doubt they do all of them, really.
As soon as I call it. Here it comes.
Yeah, there you go. Asus is the Acid Storm. It doesn't have any of the digital camo motif, but he's still got the green and black going on there.
Yep.
Coming soon, Phobidor, Phantasis, and Morpheus. I'm assuming the cone heads, I'm guessing. No, these are the Insecticons. Okay.
Yeah, these are...
Fall of Cybertron Insecticons.
I don't think the Coneheads were in the games at all. They might have been just as DLC for like multiplayer, but I know the Insecticons, I think, were coming pretty soon, and luckily they are. Because I'd like to get a better version of Kickback than the official Hasbro.
Yeah, these look pretty awesome. Yeah. And next is the Megatron. Really, really awesome. Fall of Cybertron, Megatron. I don't know what they're calling this because there's no name attached to it.
I think I read a name, but I forgot what it was. Actually, let me look it up quick.
And next we look like an Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, which is... I think it was pretty much just the Prime figure, but it comes with clippable armor. Pretty much to, so what I'm kind of thinking what they're gonna do with this, they're gonna have like another version of the Prime, pretty much a Prime repaint, because they did for the original Hasbro line, they did Ultra Magnus, so I think they're gonna do it in the Magnus colors, and they're gonna add all the armor so you can choose whether you want just the
right
spot.
They do include a hammer, so the Forge of Solas there. Some truck mode pictures of it. Next up is Zeta Toys, which I have quickly fallen in love with.
Just a quick little update for that Megatron. The name of Megatron was Pluto.
Pluto, okay. Now, Zeta Toys, I've actually gotten the their Whirlblade and Blastoff. Whirlblade is actually Vortex. And Takeoff is their Blastoff, I'm sorry. The Combaticons. They are I don't have them handy here, but they are enormous. They are, dare I say, leader class size. Each individual bot is leader class size. They scale well with, say, Starscream and everything. Let me see if I can pull up a picture here while we're talking. You can see Flyfire here, which is their Fireflight. The detail on these is sick. Absolutely sick. And they are Masterpiece scale. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Here is the Whirlblade, the Vortex. These are my pictures here. Got Whirlblade and Takeoff. They follow in the Ocular, the Studio OX motif. They got almost a Dreamwave design to them. Now back to Flyfire here, which is their Fireflight. As you can see, the close-up of the detail here, all the panel lines, the thrusters, the missiles, and then the robot modes are very true to the G1 character. And yes, they do combine. Next up is the Airstrike, which is the Air Raid. Very nice-looking Tomcat here. Again, the detail is just mind-blowing.
They actually come back to robot mode beneath the jet really, really well.
Yeah, the underside really does compact. I mean, you really can't tell that it becomes a robot too much underneath. So it looks like you're able to fold the nose cone back. Of the Air Raid. Now here we have the gray CGI renders of Skydive. Their version of Skydive, rather. Slingshot. And Silverbolt. Not sure I'm keen about the shield thing on the side. It looks like on the back of his arm. I think that's actually the jet wings.
Yeah, that's kind of thing. You kind of tell the thrusters up top.
Okay, yeah. At first, it kind of looked like a shield, but it probably just the angle that image is. But it's still very, very Silverbolt. And he does have the Concorde, turns into a Concorde. Very nice. Again, we got the Whirlblade pictures of robot and helicopter mode, and takeoff, which is their blast off, and shuttle and robot mode. I'm telling you, for size comparisons, the space shuttle for takeoff and space shuttle mode is taller than Masterpiece Starscream. If you stood the shuttle up next to Masterpiece Starscream, it is taller than Masterpiece Starscream in robot mode.
That's going to be one big Bruticus.
That is going to be a gigantic Bruticus. The Bruticus, if I'm not mistaken from pictures I've seen, it is supposed to be a few inches taller than Titan Devastator in combined form. So, yeah. Big. And the best part about these guys are they're roughly $60 for each of the limbs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you saying that.
I'm like, for the price, I'm not passing these up. I am not passing these up. Next up is Swindle, which, you know, me personally, I didn't care for him from the gray protos. But now that they've got him colored up, I kind of dig him. He does look good. And he turns into a Humvee instead of a Jeep. Which I guess would help in the combined form. Next up is their Brawl. Looks really good. And might I add that it will have working treads.
Nice.
Looks like it has working treads. I know these come from the same people that designed Toy World's Constructor. And I know Bone Crusher and Scavenger have working treads. Next up is, I guess, DIXZ Toys, Dixie's Toys, I guess. Looks like they're doing a Bruticus here. I'm assuming these are like super small.
Yeah, the way it kind of looks, it looks like it would be a little deformed type of Bruticus.
Yeah.
To where it'll actually maybe go with Legends.
So I'm not going to knock these too much for looking kind of weird. You know, they're extremely small size. They've got a masterpiece scaled Teletran 1, which looks pretty cool. And then reserve soldiers, which are roughly finger-sized. A Skyfire.
I think this, I wrote an article on this one. I think this was that Headmaster they were doing.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think it's to go with the Titans Return, I think. It looks like it, because he's got the little spot with him. And I think he was a Headmaster.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Giga Raiden, which is Optimus Prime. Not again, not entirely sure of the scale on these. I'm assuming they're like Legends class, maybe Deluxe.
Saying the Jetfire is 25 centimeters, so I'm thinking... Let me see. 25 centimeters, once it loads. About 9 inch, like just under 10 inches.
Oh, so the, for their Skyfire, that would be roughly Voyager size, yeah. Eh, I don't know about that.
So, Prime, 14.6, is about 5 3/4 inches.
So, he's roughly Deluxe size.
Yeah.
Next up is one of my favorites, Fans Hobby. They burst onto the scene last year with their phenomenal G2 Prime and their Scourge. We're looking at their Scourge here. Megatooth, their Monster Bots. Megatooth was the Repugnus. And Phalong, which is their Double Cross. And soon to be, well, I guess it's out now, is the Flypro, which is Grotusk. Laser, yeah, here we go, Flypro, MB05. Now, TFCon, they showed off their Power Baser, which is MB06, and it is Power Master Optimus Prime. And it does all the bells and whistles of Power Master Prime. Has the Prime trailer, the Power Master, and the small Genrai Prime. And the base and the trailer does turn into a little base. That's really cool, and it does combine with the trailer. Another prototype image. And now we're looking at the Phalong special, which is a Singapore exclusive, Singapore convention exclusive. And it is basically Transmetal 2 Megatron in design. It's Phalong, which is their Double Cross. So it has the two heads, but it has significant remolding. It's got like the double sword thing that like RID Megatron had, has a Megatron head, totally remolded wings. It's got a lot of remolded parts, and it looks really awesome. Next up is MB08 Double Evil, their Overlord.
This I can't wait for more pictures.
I passed up on Carnifex because I had heard about this some time ago, and I'm kind of glad I did. I'm really digging the looks of this guy. He is enormous. Looks like he's roughly says 400 millimeters high. So. And they've got a picture of G1 Overlord standing next to him, and he towers over G1 Overlord. G1 Overlord comes up to just under the Power Master ports on Double Evil. So, really, really excited about that guy. Fans Hobby, if you haven't tried a Fans Hobby product, I highly recommend them. The quality is bar none. I have not been disappointed with anything that they've put out so far. Great stuff. Looks like they got some add-on kits for their G2 Prime and their Scourge, coming out with trailers, missiles, and guns for them. And looks like, let's see here, Jeff Sr.
Looks like they're going to do one where it actually has comic panels on the side of the truck, which is kind of cool.
Okay, yeah. That is pretty neat. And they are also looking into different color variations of the Scourge and G2 Prime, Laser Prime mold. They've got some BAPE inspired images here.
Looks like a Magnus at the front.
A Magnus at the front, yeah. And possibly a Toxitron, I'm guessing in there.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for a Toxitron. Next up, we have DNA Designs. And I apologize if we're kind of blowing through these rather quickly, but we're kind of pressed for time today. DNA, the Arashi, looks like a Bonsaitron.
This was the Revenge of the Fallen bludgeon mold that they actually pretty much took and tweaked the living hell out of, and this thing looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks.
They did the bludgeon first, then obviously did the Bonsaitron.
Mm-hmm. And next up, let's see here. Continuing here, they got a lot of pictures of Arashi here. Just kind of going through. Okay, and now there's a bludgeon back there.
Yep. I can kind of see him doing the G2 Megatron out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did with the GDO.
Yeah. Next up is DX9. We got their Richthofen, I guess. My German is not too great. But it's basically Power Glide, Masterpiece scaled Power Glide. The looks of it is, as you would expect, very G1 cartoon inspired. Even comes with the Make Tracks, or I'm sorry, Hoist Goes to Hollywood alien mask for him, as well as the Girl Who Loved Power Glide. Comes with die-cast parts. Next is their Gabriel, DX9 Gabriel, which is their version of Omega Supreme. But DX9 Gabriel, it's roughly on par with Fans Toys Terminus Giganticus, which is also Fans Toys version of Omega. Really enormous figures. And here we have a picture of the DX9 Gabriel next to MP10 and Masterpiece Inferno and Ironhide. MP10 comes to barely over Gabriel's knees. So if you have an MP10, look at your MP10 and imagine something almost 2.5 times taller than that.
I wonder how he scales next to Star Saber.
Be interesting. Next is DX9 D13 Montana Breakdown. Sunicon Breakdown. Is a part of their version of Minasaur, which they're calling Attila. Attila in combined form is slated to be 50 centimeters tall, which I think we established 40 centimeters was what, about 9 inches. So we're probably.
Let's see. Once it loads, 50 centimeters is about 1.64 feet. So it's just over
foot and a half tall. Okay. So that is pretty big. Some resin photos. Next up is the DX9 images of their legend scaled Dinobots, the War and Pocket. I'd actually like to get a hold of these guys. They look pretty cool. Of course, I'm a Dinobot fan, so.
Mm-hmm.
And very cartoon-esque in their thing. Next up is Gigapower, who are notorious for slowly releasing their products. you know, they've been around for, what, 4 or 5 years now, maybe, and we've gotten Grasser, which is their slag, and their Snarl is getting ready to be released, and then Graveter, which is their sludge, they're showing here. So sludge is it seems like they're picking up the pace a little bit. Me personally, I think they're a little bit too big, and they miss the mark on some aesthetic design, in my opinion, as far as face sculpt. And this is strictly my opinion. They're sludge here, although you know they do a really good job of covering up panels and stuff, and holes, hollow parts and stuff. I also am not a really keen on the dino head either.
Yeah. The
sludge. Looks like he's got... Looks like he might have some die-cast metal parts, I guess. G Creation is up next. Here we see their Optimus Prime.
I believe this was Ultra Maximus.
Okay. Really interesting designs here, based on the IDW version. Also, we're looking at their IDW version of Six Shot. Of course, there's no names on here, so I can't refer to them properly. And next to their Carnifex, which is, I'm assuming that's Carnifex, it looks like.
Yep, that is.
Movie series stuff coming soon from G Creation. Iron Factory, famous for their legend sized toys. Here we see their Seeker Squad, Skywarp, Starscream, and Thundercracker. A Ghost Starscream, as well as a Coronation Starscream set. The Coneheads, Thrust, Dirge, and Ramjet. Combaticon Swindle. Which, you know, given these guys' size, they capture the look really, really well. In my opinion, their Brawl. What's your thoughts on the G Creation Combaticons?
That actually looks pretty well, like, you know, pretty nice.
I mean, like I said, you know, you got to consider these are legends sized, so
yeah, it's a little, you know, little
yeah, little bitty guys.
We're all towers on our swindle though.
Yeah. they're blast off. I like how they looks like they have translucent windows on blast off too. That's pretty neat.
You can kind of see a couple parts peek through.
Vortex, which they call Spin Vulture.
The way the helicopter looks kind of reminds me of Armada Cyclonus.
Cyclonus, yeah. It has a very Armada Cyclonus look to it.
Especially the front of it and the way the tail looks.
Yeah, well, even the color kind of looks that.
Yeah.
Cannon Chariot, their Onslaught. And next is the vehicle mode of it. And War Giant is a combined form. Looks really good.
Can hold. Nice.
I'm imagining he's probably Voyager sized in combined form.
If they had a little size, I could look it up, but they don't. So I got a feeling he's going to be thinking maybe close to.
Next is Iron Factory Blaze Dash. Looks like their Sideswipe. And we got Bolt Sprint, which is Sunstreaker. And they are not straight up redecos of one another. That's
yeah,
a
they
plus.
Got remolds.
Next is Spark Toys. I'm not mistaken, these are a Fall of Cybertron, War for Cybertron.
They are not. Homages. These are the War Within.
Or War Within, okay. That's right.
They're pretty much updates to the Titanium series figures. So, yeah, they're the War Within.
Very nice looking, yeah. And, of course, you got the Megatron. Mm-hmm. These pictures are doing them justice because the detail looks insane on these.
Yes.
And the paint looks amazing. Yeah. Just look at the face sculpts too. I mean, they have got like a snarling nose on the Megatron.
Yep.
And then the picture of Megatron standing on top of the Prime, getting ready to thrust his sword in him. That's an epic, epic shot. Kudos to the photographer on that one. There's Spark Toys 03, which is the War Within Grimlock. We see here in gray proto form. Kind of interesting. I never did care for the pre-Dinobot version of the characters, but I understand why they exist. TFC Toys, here we see the already released King Poseidon, the Seacons, form Piranacon. I like this set, but in combined form, I think the head is a bit tiny.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
The sword looks great, though. I love the sword. Individual sea monsters is where these guys really excel, especially the Thousand Kills, the Tentakill. That thing just looks so badass. I'd like to have that just as a standalone. But my thing is I don't want to get one of a set, and then I'd be feel obliged to get the rest of the set.
Yep.
Don't know what this... I guess this is a gun for him. It's like different color variations you can assemble with it. Next up is TFC's Trinity Force Raging Bull, which I actually own Raging Bull. Trinity Force is their rendition of Road Caesar. I really like the looks of it, but it does have a few quality issues, and I'm telling you, it does come with the Brainmaster gimmick. It does have the Brainmaster, but you can actually forego that and just give it a regular head, and completely ignore the Brainmaster gimmick. But the Brainmaster is literally like not even an inch tall. The Brainmaster itself. It's like half an inch. I'm talking like world's smallest Ravage tiny. And it's down there. My Raging Bull had some tabbing issues. Some of the tabs don't quite tab in just right. But I will have to say it really hits the mark on a lot of the looks of Laster. Raging Bull is Laster out of the Road Caesar combiner set. Next up is Red Knight, which is their Braver. Have not got this one yet, but I will eventually. And of course, next is, if I can get to it, their Blacker, which there's not a name on here. I don't know what it's called yet.
Wild Hunter, I think it's saying, because there's the first photo that shows them there's a name.
Okay. But, yeah, he turns into the Dune Buggy, and he's a little bit bigger than the other two. Yeah. But I think that's just to help make up for... I mean, you're making a combiner out of three figures, so, you know, there has to be a size differential there. And there's the combined form. really, really awesome. I can't wait to have that. Road Caesar's one of my favorites. Next up is TFC's Satan, their version of the Terrorcons, the G1 Terrorcons. It says now printing over each one of them. I'm not a huge fan of the aesthetic these guys are showing, from what we can tell. Of course, there's a lot blurred out here.
Yeah.
Want to wait and see the final version of these guys. But I think the Unique Toys Orden probably hit the mark on the G1 look a little bit better for those guys. Next up is Thunder Commander, the G.I. Joe Rolling Thunder that turns into an Optimus Prime. Seems like there was a third party that actually had this some time ago that didn't really do too well with it, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember that. I'm trying to remember the name. I can't think of it.
Next up is Bad Cube. Their Engineer Huff and Warrior Piper. They basically went back and revisited Cubex Huff and redid him. Basically re-engineered it into the Bad Cube aesthetic. The robot modes look great, but I'm not really keen on the truck modes. Truck modes are a little bit lacking in my opinion. Next is Rising Force. We're seeing their Motormaster here, which I have to say that out of all the third-party Motormasters so far in the truck mode, or I'm sorry, the robot mode, that Motormaster actually hits the aesthetic mark. It's got the truck cab for feet and the robot head. Now, the truck mode... well, what's your thoughts?
I just hope the only thing they really do to it is they have a sliding mechanism where you can pull them out a little farther.
Yeah,
I really don't like that.
Yeah, the cab is literally up against the front of the trailer.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure. Kind
of have like what the Power Master Prime or Titan Return did, or, you know, the combining with Magnus, to where you pull it in to transform it, but you bring it back out to pose them and whatnot. So I hope they do that with them.
Yeah. If they do, then this might be a consideration. Generation Toy is next. We see their GT1 Gravity Builder and then the GT1 GS Green Shadow. It's basically Gravity Builder, which is their Constructicon set, the Devastators. Green Shadow is a fully translucent Devastator. Get out of here with that stuff, because you're making me sick here. I gotta have that. It looks awesome, and I'm a really big fan of translucent stuff. Next is a GT2 Retyrant. Basically the stealth bomber Megatron. Generation Toy Op X, which is the IDW Optimus Prime. And I kind of like this one.
Gee, I wonder why.
You know, the GT6 Durandrill. I have to get this just because it's got my name in it. But yeah, it's basically a homage to the the knockoff sets or something other. It's orange, so it's G2-ish in color.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And from what I understand, the drills are motorized and spin independently.
Hmm.
Guardian GT8, which is basically their Defensor. There's a shot at their blades. Streetwise. Ooh. And next is Generation Toys Optimus Primal. GT10. I don't know what this one's called either. It's got a very Cybertron Primal-esque esque look to it. It's got the Beast Wars Optimus Primal look, but in a very robotic form. It doesn't have organic look to it at all.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that little Cybertron Deluxe Optimus Primal.
Yeah. But it says the new series, a new start, GT-11. Looks like a Tantrum, maybe. And GT-12 looks like some sort of cat. I'm not sure. But the GT-11 kind of has a bull look to it.
Yeah. Thinking maybe they're starting to dip their toes into Predaking.
Mm-hmm. Next up is my favorite, and a lot of people's favorites, Fans Toys. FT-19 Apache, which is their Springer. Should be out very soon, I would imagine. Probably by the end of the year, I'm guessing. Fans Toys FT-22 Coot, which is their cup, Target Master cup. I have that on pre-order. Gimme now. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier when we were talking about Gabriel from DX9, we have FT-20 Terminus Giganticus, which is shipping now. And I can't wait to have mine. Absolutely phenomenal looking toy. Next up, we have Perfect Fusion, which is, I guess, they are, it's Fans Toys, but it's, they're releasing it under the Fans Perfect Fusion banner. And they basically went back to Scoria and redid him in a slightly different scale with some changes. They tweaked the mold quite a bit. I don't think he looks quite as much like a potato in Dino Mode now. but he still looks good. Perfect Fusion PF-02 Quietus, which is an amazing looking Cyclonus.
Then he comes with the optional IDW head where he has one of his horns.
The broken horn, yeah. Which I will not use. But
then yeah. I think he also comes with a couple hip skirts for that look, too. Then he also comes with the head that doesn't have the broken-off horns.
Mm-hmm. And look at that jet mode. Would you just look at that? All you can do is just look at it. And there you see it next to the Fans Toys Lupus, which is their Weird Wolf. And he's... quite large in size, actually. And next to Fans Toys Sovereign, which is their Galvatron. Lupus is not small either. He's not. And of course, he comes with not only the alternate heads, but also the Target Master as well. That's Perfect Fusion PF-02 Quietus. Make Toys, or Make Toy, however you want to pronounce it. I absolutely crapped a brick whenever they showed MTRM-09ST Bounce Back, which is the long-awaited stepper, or ricochet. Next up is Fans Toys showed at TFCon their highbrow and the line drawings for a brainstorm. So they are finishing off the G1 Autobot Headmaster, large headmasters. And I sold my Cupola, and I gave up on Iron Wheel because I didn't think they was going to finish this set. And now here they are. But they do look amazing. Grand Mine, which is their highbrow, absolutely awesome. And Wise Blast, which is Brainstorm, is in the planning stages. And now they're showing Silverback, which is Make Toys' version of Ape Face. They've got some competition because I have to say the KFC version of Ape Face, I have it, and it's pretty awesome. And I'm assuming that they're going to do the Snapdragon, but they haven't showed it here. The Galaxy Meteor, which is the Cybertron Starscream, They are doing Galaxy Lightning and Galaxy Skycrow, Thundercracker.
The whole...
Thundercracker and Skywarp.
They put them out for pre-orders, and I think they said they didn't have enough, so they canceled them for a little bit to pretty much see what would happen, and I think now that they're getting more pre-orders in, they're finally going to bring them back, and now they're going to do these. I'd kill to have that Thundercracker. That's amazing.
I kind of wonder how much of that was actually a marketing ploy. I kind of wonder. Yeah. Next is Galaxy Manus, some line art. I'm assuming a looks like a Prime of sorts.
Yep, that's Cybertron Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been waiting for an empty scaled.
And Lord Despotron, Cybertron Megatron. Thunder Manus Divine Suit box set basically turns Thunder Manus into a Power Master Optimus Prime or Gojin Rai. Buster Skywing, which looks like Cybertron Jetfire, maybe?
And Cybertron, yeah.
And as yet unnamed Galvatron looking toy from Make Toys. Next is Mastermind Creations. Not sure who that is.
I think that's Drift.
Okay.
Looks like a Cybertronian form of Drift.
Form of Drift, yeah. A bonus red red crest head and first drop. Alter Beta reformatted.
I believe this black one was funny. It was a Decepticon, but because before Drift joined the Autobots, obviously it was a Decepticon, and I believe he had a black color scheme. Thought it was purple.
Yeah, Coulter asterisk mode. I obtained one of these. I contacted Orson at Capture Prey, and he picked one of these for me up for me at TFCon USA. Basically, Coulter asterisk mode. Coulter, if you are familiar with the IDW comics, is the toy version of Tarn. Well, the asterisk mode is Tarn in a red and dark red color scheme with an Autobot face mask. I saw this, and I see the last Autobot from the original Marvel comics to me. And that's why I had to have this. And it looks amazing.
I remember reading somewhere, I forgot where it was, but I think somebody said it was Glitch. Because before Glitch became Tarn, I think Glitch was an Autobot, I believe.
Trux, basically a... T-Rex, a Grimlock. And Hardball, looks like a generation style Warpath.
Kind of has a video game style to it, too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And then Transform Dreamwave. Basically, add-on kits for... Computron is shown here. Looks like hands and feet. Much like the Perfect Effect. Yeah. Much like the Perfect Effect add-on kits. And we got an add-on kit for their Overlord, Titan Returns Overlord.
Which pretty much the only thing they really keep is the jet. Everything else they pretty much get rid of.
Yeah. And I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And then you got six-shot add-ons.
Which makes sense, because I honestly kind of don't like the Headmaster in six-shot. It kind of looks weird.
Next is the Ocular Max. We're seeing the TFCon USA exclusive off-road Tauragus, which it looks nice, but from what I understand, it didn't sell too well at the convention. Basically, it's a white trailbreaker with muddied up deco. and it looks really, really good, but I think I'll pass on it. Omni, Ocular Max Omni, which is a Cosmos, a Masterpiece-style Cosmos, and if you look closely inside the window, you have a little tiny Bumblebee and a little tiny Blaster.
Nice. Yeah.
And he looks really good, too. Next is Saltus, their version of Springer. Ocular Max Springer. Looks like a very early form of him, though.
Yeah.
Some unpainted areas on it.
So I'm thinking more than silver. That's got to be die cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's material, just a, not final.
Yeah. And then prototype of their cliff jumper. Called Hellion. And even comes with little skids that goes on the feet. Or I'm sorry, on the wheels of the car. Oh, did I see that correctly? Yeah. It looks like the little figures that come with the Masterpiece, like Spike, will sit inside of Hellion.
Hmm.
So nice. And guess what? Another Bruticus.
Yay.
Yeah. Impetus, which is their Vortex. Incursus, which is their Onslaught. Frodo, which is Swindle. Probus, which is Brawl. And Volatus, which is Blastoff. Combines into the Assaultus Militia, which is their Bruticus. And is, from what I understand, these are Masterpiece scale. And next and last but not least is the Ocular Max Remix. These are the 1-to-1 scale cassettes. Got their Buzzard and Vulture. Buzzsaw and Laserbeak. They are full-size cassette tapes. Not mini cassettes. Tremor, which is Rumble. And from what
I believe,
the pile drivers are motorized.
Yep.
On those, yeah. And Frenzy. Of course, Digibash. Oh, I'm sorry. We had KFC last. We got Stratotanker, which is their Octane. Looks very nice. The truck mode's a little bit lacking, but
yeah,
at least it's articulated. And it looks like we have a Darkwing and Dreadwind. It's also a Buster and Hydra. Oh. Coming from KFC.
I also got X-Transglass following.
Yeah. Damn it. I'm going to have to get those two, those guys too. X-Transbots. We got their Stunticons. Crack Up. Flip Out, which is Wild Rider. Death Wish, which is Dead End. Overheat, which is Drag Strip. And Gravestone, which is Motormaster.
He actually looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, he does. And they combine into Monolith.
49 centimeters, so I think that was like
about a foot and a half.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And that will be it. That is a scroll through of all the reveals from TFCon USA.
434. Holy
moly. Yeah. I know it's been kind of, it's probably a boring listen for listeners, but, and I apologize for that, but, you know, we kind of wanted to go through and show our viewers who might not have been able to see the toys from TFCon, what they look like, and kind of briefly go over each one and some of our thoughts on them. Do you have any thoughts coming out of TFCon? Anything that you're really excited over?
Well, I didn't really see the photos of the Make Toys Cybertron figures. The only ones I really know about were the Starscream repaints. But after seeing the photos of the Optimus and Megatron, I'm really excited for those because Cybertron is pretty much where I got my start. Well, pretty much the Unicron trilogy, and after seeing those, I am so excited for those now.
Yeah, that is really exciting. There's a lot of stuff there that I'm excited about. You know, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the, like I said there at the end, the X-Transbots version of Buster and Hydra and Darkwing and Dreadwind. Looked really, really good. All right, we're here with Headmaster Don. A little add-on to the podcast here. Wanted to ask Don some things about TFCon USA in Reston, Virginia, here in 2017. Basically get his thoughts on the convention and some highlights for of the show for him. Don, how'd you like the show?
I had fun. I'm not sounding super excited. I had a lot of fun seeing everybody, hanging out with everybody. But something was missing from the show. And this is purely an intrinsic kind of thing. I can't tell you what it was. I have no idea. It's just, I had fun, but I felt like I could have had more fun if this missing thing had been there. If that makes any sense at all. It's just, the dealer's room was crowded, but it was a lot of stuff in there.
You know, from pictures and video that I saw, I know Antoine Lewis shared a video of the dealer room. It looked like a really cramped dealer room. Was it actually that way in person?
Yeah, it felt that way. It was, especially with me being a bigger guy. It felt like I was back at TFCon Chicago in the basement. Mm. Now, some people I've talked to said it wasn't that bad. Some people have said it was just as bad, if not worse. But again, when you've got that mad rush when the door opens for the first time on Saturday, that's kind of an artificially inflated moment in time because everybody is trying to get to the same couple of dealers. It's like when BotCon opened up, everybody went to the Japanese dealers first, mm-hmm. or the Big Bad, or whatever. You know, there's certain people that always get hit first when the doors open.
Yeah.
Once the rush died down, it was a lot easier to navigate, but it was very cramped there for a while. But again, you know, it's nothing against Daniel, nothing against anybody who put this on. It's just there's something intrinsic missing from the show that I cannot put my finger on that kept me from having as much fun as I had in the past, and I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe it's because I wasn't there or something other, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that was it. I'm sure.
No, I mean, I've told many people that I really wish I could have been there, but I'm kind of wondering if it's just the fact that it's the best replacement we have for BotCon, and it's still not BotCon, I guess. It doesn't have that official capacity or anything.
You really didn't get in on the early BotCons, 94, 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt more like that to me. It felt fine, other than that thing I can't point out, the thing that I feel was missing, but it felt like an early BotCon. We had guests, we had exclusives, we had panels and such. It didn't feel quite as it felt like it was structured, but not like down to like the very minute when everything had to be planned out precisely to keep it from imploding.
Mm-hmm.
Some shows having too much stuff going on. It felt like early BotCon, and I mean that as a compliment, because I kind of missed that feeling with later BotCons, and
it had that corporate feel to it.
Yeah, again, it's a feeling that, but yeah, it felt like an early BotCon, like I said, 94, 95, 96, but it didn't. Again, it sounds like I can't make up my mind, but it's just an intrinsic thing that I feel more than I can explain.
So, what were your highlights for the show?
Getting to see everybody. I get to see everybody from TFYLP and RFC, seeing some friends that I know otherwise. Like, got to talk to Evangelist for a few minutes, and it's always nice talking to him because he's got some really great insights. Met P.A.L. in person for the first time. bought Matrix for the first in person for the first time. Got some exclusives. Missed out on a couple of things just because the dealer's room was so crowded. They like all the Twin Twists and Misfires pretty much got on first. And by the time I got out of the line for the exclusives, they were all mostly gone, except for the ones that were really expensive. Even they were gone after a while. I went to the podcasters panel. That was, of course, highlighting seeing all the guys from the different shows there. Went to the Aaron Archer panel.
There was a podcaster panel?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pre-show podcaster panel and a post-show podcasters panel on what we wanted to see and then the wrap-up. I wasn't on the latter, but I was on the first one. So there was that. Went to the Aaron Archer panel. One of the highlights was me wasn't even a panel or anything. Aaron Archer actually was walking by with Daniel, and he recognized me. He said it was good to see me again, shook my hand. I said, I got my RC, and he sort of smiled and walked off. So it was nice to be before. You know, it's like, or it could have been like, thank God he got his toy, maybe now he'll shut up.
No, Aaron's a great guy. He really is.
That was a highlight again. Going to a lot of places to eat that I've never been to before, and I probably never will again. Just it was fun. It was enjoyable.
What is your toy haul that you picked up at the show?
Let's see. I picked up the Shattered Glass Rodimus. And in a surprising move, I picked up the Tarn, which I have no real connection to since I'm not reading IDW, and I don't have any connection with the DJD. But I like the looks of the figure, and having a Fire Guts version of it is something that is interesting.
Well, you know, I mentioned this whenever I was talking to Jack earlier in the recording. I had Orson pick me up one of those, too, because whenever I saw that, I'm like, my very, very first impression of it, the Last Autobot.
Yeah, that's when I saw.
That's why I had that. That's.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was some inspiration drawn from that with the Autobot faceplate and everything. There's that. I picked up the Clear Starscream. That was an impulse buy that I'm kind of regretting. It's just. Clear plastics are my weakness. That's you know people will
now,
look
which,
like.
Which Clear Starscream are you talking about?
It's the War Within. It's the Somnus.
Oh, okay.
Same thing as the, you know, it's the longer version. I've got the Clear Starscream from DX9, the G1 version. This was the War Within, War for Cybertron version. Again, I was kind of like, it's so beautiful and with the light hitting it and the crystal plastics. Now I'm like. But I don't have any connection to the design because I really don't care about the so I kind of regret getting it, but I kind of don't. So that's there and there. My friend JT Hogg over from RFC, a friend of the podcast. My friend, I was rooming with him and my friend Blade Raider, and they both found Overlord, but they each got the only Overlord the table had, and I was like, I can't believe both of them found Overlords and there was none of them left. For them to say, hey, there's extra Overlords here. But my friend JT found one from Toy Dojo. It's a slight misassembly in which it has two of the same fins on the arms.
Oh.
But I got it for $35. I'm really not going to complain getting an Overlord for less than retail with something that minor.
No.
Picked up a bone white Bandai Spacey because mine is aged yellow. So I picked that up for $2. Picked up a knockoff of Mach Baron from Thunder Baron, the indie race car, in purple. And I've never seen a purple KO of that. And I think it will actually combine with Thunder Baron's other components. Ooh. I haven't had to try it out yet, so that was kind of interesting. Picked up Machine Robo Blockhead and Leader 1. So there's that. And picked up from the Room Parties Armada Tidal Wave for $15. I want the Energon version more, but not spending $60.
I thought you already had those.
I sold the Armada Tidal Wave years ago when I was trying to get rid of some Armada stuff. Mm-hmm. I've kind of regretted him selling him ever since. Picked up an Impossible Toys Wasp for $2. They have a wasp. And it's worth $2. That's about it.
$2.
It's about worth $2. I mentioned this a few weeks ago that I was able to get P.L.'s Devil Stinger from him.
Mm-hmm.
The hand had some damage from the factory, and P.L. was able to work with TF Source and get me a new head for the figure. So my Devil Stinger is now complete. So I appreciate that from him and get me a new head for the figure. That's everything I picked up. I did find on the way up a Scorn. On the way up, which is something I had not seen loose in the store in the wild yet.
I got mine from Walmart.com, even though it was saying the listing said TBA or TBD. I ordered it. I had the actual order number for it, and whenever I got it, I picked it up at the site to store. The lady at the site to store, she sat there and she scans or she pulls up the order, and she's like, "Well, that's odd." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Well, it's coming up to be determined." Like that. And she goes, "It's not telling me what it is." And I said, "Well, it's a Transformer." And she's like, "How do you know that?" And I said, "Well, I have my sources, you know." and she's like, "So you ordered something that you didn't know what it was." I'm like, "Pretty much." So she cuts open the thing to make sure it's the right item. I'm like, "Yep, that's it." She's like, "Well, I can't believe you bought something and you didn't know what it was."
Well, a good friend of mine tried three times on Kmart.com to get Human Alliance Jazz. Mm-hmm. And got barricaded all three times. So you had better luck than he did. The one thing that surprised me, though, is I did not see any Walgreen clone sets, which I was expecting to at least see a couple of. There may have been some there, and in the initial rush, I missed them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not heard of anybody actually picking one up at the show, so there's that.
I've got the Takara ones ordered. I can't wait till they come out.
I'm hoping, because my Walgreens is recently, one of the two has expanded their toy section, so I'm hoping that there's that. And on the way up, I saw them, the Cyber Battalion. I saw all four, Bumblebee, Optimus, Prowl, and Jetfire. The Prowl is actually kind of tempting, but for $16, I'm going to hold off.
Oh, wow. Are they're deluxe priced and they're that simple?
Yeah, they're $16.99. Mm-hmm. The Optimus is basically your Legends class Optimus upscale. The Jetfire we've seen before is your basic nose tilt up, you know. As far as I can tell, the feet don't even move. The feet are the same in both modes. You know, nothing even moves on.
Wow.
The Prowl is kind of interesting with the way it's... Because, see, the transformation gives them elbows,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting, but that's really about it. The Bumblebee is just another Bumblebee. Nothing really special there. Third-party-wise, a lot of it... the main thing about the third-party panel was that they ran through it really, really fast, which I know they have to when they have that many supplies.
Well, this episode here, whenever Jack and I, we did it, I mean, and I apologize to the listeners if you're listening to the audio version, because it was probably a very boring listen, because basically we're just going through the slides and commenting on them. And there was like 400 slides. So
trust me, it was very boring sitting in the room. Watching those slides because, and again, I'm not trying to blame anyone at TFCon because there's a ton of stuff to go through. The only thing I'm going to take a problem with is that once they finally got to the new stuff at the very end that we had not seen before from the past TFCon or at TF Nation, and I believe this stuff was brand new that was just now being shown for the first time. I believe it was. I'm wrong. You know, mm-hmm. Someone please correct me. But they ran through that as well. And I was sitting relatively up close, and as fast as they moved through some of the slides, I couldn't tell what these figures were, who they were supposed to be. There's a War Within Ultra Magnus, but as fast as the slide went by, I didn't know that was Ultra Magnus. It looked like it could be a Roadbuster. It could be anybody with a truck mode.
Hmm.
I had no idea. And if they had just slowed down just a hair and say, this is X, it's Ultra Magnus from Y series being done by X party. Just so that way everyone, because if I'm sitting that close and I'm seeing the screen and I can't tell who it's supposed to be, I'm sure the people in the back couldn't tell either.
Well, quite honestly, there's scrolling through some of them, especially whenever you get to like the really out there designs, like the Fall of Cybertron and everything. It's really hard to recognize characters sometimes because they're so stylized.
And I've not played the games. I didn't really hear anything about the whole War Within universe kind of thing. It didn't really make it, it just wasn't something I really dealt with outside of getting the few deluxes that we got. You know, there was a lot of great stuff. I had to go to the dealer's case and see some of the stuff in person and ask the people at TFCon that was watching all the glass cases, who is that supposed to be? Because I couldn't tell in the slideshow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but again, that's just me. That's the one thing I would have taken away. It's like, when you get to the brand new stuff at the end, you could have slowed down just a hair to give us a little more detail on who's who.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you, Don, for dropping by real quick and giving us your thoughts on the show. Tune in next time on TFYLP, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about TFCon with Daniel and some other people as the weeks go on. Don, thanks for joining us today, and hope you had a good time and enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thank you.
Sleep. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode of TFYLP. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Again, we're going to try to return to a normal live schedule within the next month to 2 months. Hopefully within the next month. Like I said, I got to get fully moved into this place here, and the internet needs to be seriously upgraded. Because it's much lower than what I had at my apartment. In order to be able to do live video, I've got to get it brought up. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening on TFYLP. I'm Deron Land, along with Jack Bruner. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.